And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.
Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study as part of our series on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. This message is in verse 14 titled, The Breastplate of Righteousness. This is part 2 of 2.
Believe in God. Our righteousness is an imputed righteousness. It's not even something that, like there's a kernel of it in there and God waters it and sprinkles it and it grows. No, that's not how it works. It's imputed. Think of it kind of like a spiritual blood transfusion. How many of you know what that is? Blood transfusion? This is spiritually the same sort of thing. Or maybe you could even think of it as a heart transplant. It's like your old, crusty, dirty heart is taken out and God puts a new heart in there. But it's more than that because it is a standing. You are looked at by God now as a righteous person, not because you're righteous, but because He imputes the righteousness of His Son to you. Amen. So when you pray and you say, I don't feel worthy to even ask this, Lord. You know what God says? Amen. You're not worthy, but my Son is. Now go on. Amen. You and I aren't worthy. God ain't listening to us because of us. He's listening to us in spite of us. Because of His Son. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 4. Some of you own a Bible. Have it with you. And know where the book of Romans is. Turn there. Romans chapter 4. Beginning verse 20. Romans chapter 4 verse 20. And this is all about Abraham. We're not going to take time to read the whole chapter. But the context is about Abraham. It says in verse 20, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to who?
God.
Verse 21, And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Read verse 22 with me. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it didn't say Abraham believed on how that Christ died for his sins and he was buried and he rose again. That's a different dispensation. But he believed God. What do you have to believe? Right now you have to believe how that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again. During the millennium, no one's going to have to believe that. The resurrected Jesus Christ is right there on the earth with you. But they will still have to believe God. And in this case, Abraham believed God, and it says it was imputed to him for righteousness, meaning Abraham wasn't righteous. How many of you have read enough about Abraham to know what I'm saying is true? Amen. He was a liar. I love you, Abraham, but you'll be the first to admit when we see you in heaven that you lied repeatedly, told the same lie over and over. Oh, that's not my wife, that's my sister. Half truth. She was his wife and his half-sister. See how that works? And Abraham failed. First of all, you go back to when God told him to leave his family and go out of Ur of Chaldees. What did he do? He took some of his family with him. Right off the bat, we got a problem here. But why did God call Abraham a friend? Not because he was sinlessly perfect or self-righteous. It was because he believed God. He wasn't always perfect in his performance, but he believed God. Look at verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Guess what? It was written for us. Verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You know, the mark of spiritual maturity in your life, surrendering to God because you understand it's about God and not about you. Amen. Surrendering to God because it's not about you. It's about God. It's a wonderful lesson to learn. John Wesley said this, "And having on the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of a spotless purity." All of us who are honest will tell you and admit in the mirror, that's not us. Mine is not a righteousness of spotless purity. "But the righteousness of a spotless purity in which Christ will present us faultless before God through the merit of His own blood."
Amen.
Amen. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The blood. The blood of God. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. And His blood was pure. He didn't have the stain of original sin on Him. And He never committed a single sin. His righteousness is the only righteousness that can save you. Because His is the only that really exists.
Amen.
And when you believe on Him, His righteousness is imputed to you, to your account. That ought to make you want to shout, amen. Amen. Look back one chapter, chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Whoop, I didn't need to turn my page. Romans chapter 3, beginning verse 23. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, do you need for me to define the word all? Y'all understand that means you and me. Amen? Verse 24. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Verse 25. "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation." Means a full and complete payment. "Through faith in His blood to declare" what? "His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." Read verse 26 with me. "To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." I mentioned during our prayer time that the news media, every time they'll talk about evangelical or fundamental Christians, they will paint you up as a bunch of do-gooders doing good because you think by doing good, you'll get to heaven. That is the exact opposite of what we believe. We are a bunch of do-batters who believe we deserve hell, who believe we're going to heaven, not because we've done good, but because He did good. Because Jesus paid for our sins. Because He was buried and He rose again. And on the third day, He conquered sin and death. And based on that alone, we know we're going to heaven, not because us do-gooders, but because He is good and He alone is good. Well, Jesus said, "Why call me good? Only God is good." You know what? Jesus is God.
Right. Amen.
And He, good incarnate, paying for your sins. That's why you're going to heaven, if you're going to heaven. If you're going to heaven. Because I don't take any of your salvation for granted. I believe if you're saved, you're saved. Mm-hmm. I believe once in grace, always in grace, once saved, always saved, whatever you want to call it. I believe that. But I don't take it for granted.
Amen.
I know I'm saved. You can take my word for it, but I know I'm saved. God knows I'm saved, but only you and God know if you're saved.
Yeah. Amen.
And you have got to be relying on Him for salvation or you're not saved.
Amen.
That's our only righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think we have time. You know, I got time. You all good with this for a couple more minutes? Go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. This is the first mention of the breastplate of righteousness. And you'll be surprised to see that it's God putting it on. Isaiah 59, beginning verse 16. And I'll tell you the context while telling you to turn there. It's apostasy in Israel. Apostasy in Israel. And God is dealing with apostasy. That's exactly where you are today in America. Isn't that a coincidence? And verse 16 says, "And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor." That's why he sent Jesus. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and what? His righteousness, it sustained him. Verse 17, read that with me. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. That is a description of Jesus. Jesus himself has on righteousness as a breastplate. But notice, in his case, it is his righteousness. His righteousness. And then you and I, we need it. The armor of God is the armor of the saints.
Amen.
You don't have any armor if you don't have the armor of God. All of your own efforts are flesh. You must do things God's way and put on God's armor. That's the way it's got to be. Our situation is the same. Our need is also the same.
Amen.
And having on the breastplate of righteousness, that takes for granted you're not going to even be in the battle. If it says, and having on. You better not go to battle without it. To put on the breastplate of righteousness is to put on
Jesus.
That begins at salvation, but it is also something you do daily in your walk, in your life. One more time in Romans, and we'll close it up. Romans 13. We'll close it up over here in Romans 13. Beginning verse 11. Romans 13, beginning verse 11. Verse 10 begins by saying, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We need a banner with that on it. Every morning when you wake up, you're that much closer to standing in the presence of Jesus Christ. Now read verse 12 with me. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And then that's both the context of Isaiah 59 was apostasy. The night is far spent. And we're being encouraged, in order to fight the battle, to put on the armor of light. Now read verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's the key. That's it. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't make provision for the flesh. Folks, I'm in this with you.
Amen.
We all have to battle this.
Amen.
And when we make provision for the flesh, that's when we're going to fall.
Yeah.
Making provision for the flesh, that just means you just basically set the stage for your own fall. You open your up to the influences.
Yes.
Even sometimes you could be sitting in a room alone, in the dark, and your own imagination becomes where the place where you make provision for the flesh.
Yeah.
Whatever it is in your life, only you know, but you have to not make provision for the flesh. Turn that thing off. Get away from that person or that place or that thing. Do what you got to do. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Jesus is our righteousness. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness is clothing yourself in Jesus. We sang this. Read it with me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is our all.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this study. And we just ask, Lord, that all this sinks in. And that more than just understanding we need armor, that everyone will understand what it means practically to embrace truth as it being girt about with the truth, but also to understand and receive the truth of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is ours by faith. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ protects us, protects our heart, protects the inner man, and will keep us from self-righteousness as we are daily reminded that the only righteousness that matters is the righteousness of Christ. Keeping us humble, usable for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Jesus.
Thank you.
We're going to... To have balance. You can only be saved because you understand you're lost. Amen? And that is, if you turn on Oprah or Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz or whoever on TV to get your wisdom, bad move. Every one of those people reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Ask them. Write them a letter. Because people get their counsel from the ungodly. Then you can say anything these days, it seems like you can say that is true, and you will be attacked for it. And I'm just talking about the Christians. The professing Christians will be the ones attacked. But if you will go to this book, you'll find it is life-changing. Holding a book, owning a Bible. I mean, I know people who've collected the things, but they don't read them. And I see professing Christians posting their astrological signs and their horoscopes on Facebook. I see them talking about, watching the stuff. They are getting their counsel from the ungodly. I picture it this way. There are a lot of cocky, arrogant scorners who think that when they stand before God on Judgment Day, they're going to put forth a defense. They are not going to stand in the judgment. They will be face down, begging, knowing that they have chosen what's about to happen to them. Amen. And it's too late. They will not stand in the judgment. They will not pump a fist at God. They will not give a defense. They will stand for about a millisecond and then be down, face first, not even able to look at His glory, knowing, what a fool was I. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They will not stand. We are righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid for our sins. We are righteous in spite of ourselves, not because of ourselves. We are righteous because of what Jesus has done for us. And when the Father looks at you, He doesn't look and say, whoa, now that's a specimen there. I should not have broken the mold when I made her. That's not what God says. He looks at you, and if you're in the righteous, the congregation of the righteous, He says, the blood of my Son, the blood of my Son, the blood of my son. You have nothing to do with it. It's in spite of you. It's in spite of me. And what's it say in verse 6? Read that with me. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The end. The end. If you're saved, oh, I know it can look rough and you think, where are you, Lord? Trust the book. He says that if you're saved, He's there with you. And He will not leave you nor forsake you. And I hate to use the cliches, but you all know the footprints in the sand. There was that time where there was only one set of footprints. I think if I look back at my life, most of the time there's one set. So much of my life, God is the one carrying me. And as far as salvation, there's never anything but one set of footprints. As far as my soul being saved, nothing but one set of footprints. Done. All these trials you're going through, all the troubles you have to suffer, the pains physically, emotionally, whatever it is, you're going to not even look back. It'll be such a distant memory. You're going to look at what you have in Christ, and you're going to just bask in His glory. And you're not going to have time or a desire to look back. But the way of the ungodly shall perish, and the ungodly will never forget. The ungodly who reject the blood atonement of Jesus Christ will burn in an everlasting lake of fire. Their torment will rise. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. And it says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Those people who have been overcome by their lust, their greed, their self-centeredness and all that, they will continue to be overcome by it through eternity. And their way here on earth that they're walking, that they think is so smart, it will perish. We can look to the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb and know that we have been saved.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.